Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 11, Text 21. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, with commentary. Aham samadhaya mano yathahana. Sankarsanas tacharanaravinde. Tvadvajrang ho lulita gram yo pasho. Gating mune yam yapavidhaloka. Aham samadhaya mano yathahana.
Aham samadhaya mano yathahana.
Sankarsanash tacharanaravinde.
Sankarsanash tacharanaravinde.
Tvadvajjarang ho lulita gramya pasho.
Tvadvajjarang ho lulita gramya pasho.
Gating mune yam yapavidho lokah. Translation. By the force of your thunderbolt, this is Vritrasura speaking to Indra. Those of you who haven't read this far in the Bhagavatam might not know the whole narration. How Vritrasura, although officially Anasura, was actually a great devotee, and he's in a fight with Indra, and Indra's going to kill him, and Vritrasura knows he's going to kill him. And this is what he says to Indra before he's killed. So he says, I'll repeat it. By the force of your thunderbolt, Vitra is going to be killed by the Vajra of Indra. I shall be freed of material bondage and shall give up this body and this world of material desires, fixing my mind upon the lotus feet of Lord Sankarsan. I shall attain the destination of such great sages as Narada Muni, just as Lord Sankarsan has said. Purport, the words Aham Samadhaya Manah indicate that the most important duty at the time of death is to concentrate one's mind. If one can fix his mind on the lotus feet of Krishna, Vishnu, Sankarsana, or any Vishnu, Murti, his life will be successful. To be killed while fixing his mind at the lotus feet of Sankarsana, Vritrasura asked Indra to release his Vajra or thunderbolt. He was destined to be killed by the thunderbolt given by Lord Vishnu. There was no question of his being baffled. Therefore, Vritrasura requested Indra to release the thunderbolt immediately and be prepared, and he prepared himself by fixing his mind at the lotus feet of Krishna. A devotee is always ready to give up his material body. Yeah? Which is described herein as gramya pasha, the rope of material attachment. The body is not at all good, it is simply a cause of bondage to the material world. Unfortunately, even though the body is destined for destruction, fools and rascals invest all their faith in the body and are never eager to return home back to Godhead. And just in a previous lecture I discussed how we can never be sure of where we're going. There's no guarantee. You can chant your rounds and get up early in the morning, but ultimately everything's in the hands of Krishna. It doesn't mean that we think that, well, what's the point then? I won't chant my rounds and get up in the morning because there's no guarantee. Well, that gives a mentality that I'm the controller. By the force of my sadhana, I will force Bhagavan to give me his mercy. Well, that's not mercy, is it? It's akin to the attitude of Hiranyakashipu, doing austerities and getting power to conquer the universe. I will get so much power, I will force my way to Vaikuntha. But a devotee always depends on the mercy of Krishna. We show here that Vritrasura, he is ready to die. He's not afraid. Srila Prabhupada makes this statement here in the purport. A devotee is always ready to give up his material body. Any volunteers? You're all supposed to be devotees. We hear devotees say that, I've been a devotee for the last 15 years. When I hear someone say that, I think, well, that's good. You're very lucky. I'm still trying. After 40 years, it's not so easy to be a devotee. But actually, one who's really a devotee, he's not attached to the body. Deha smriti nahija shongsha bandhan kahata. As Narottam Das, he rhetorically asks, that one who's not even aware of his body, he's so much detached from his body, then where is the question of him being entangled in material existence? Because material existence comes from attachment to the body. So Vritrasura, he knows he's going to die because Indra has a thunderbolt which was given to him by Lord Vishnu specifically, or a weapon that was given to him, or the direction was given by Lord Vishnu how to get this weapon to kill Vritrasura, who was apparently invincible. He couldn't be, something like Hiranyakashipu, he couldn't be killed by a weapon that was either solid or liquid. So what's in between? Foam. He was killed by a foam weapon. It seems unlikely that foam could kill anyone, but you have to remember that mantras were... there were mediums also for mantra. So he knew he was going to die, and he was ready for that. And he says here, I'll go back to Godhead. He was very confident of that. Because that was also predicted. He was also a great devotee in a previous life, Chitraketu. And he had to go to the body of a demon, to circumstantially being cursed by Parvati. And he accepted that curse, but he got the reassurance that he had the reassurance that anyway he was going to go back to God. So he's very confident. One devotee who I had quite a lot of association with, one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, I wasn't there, but I was told by either his son or his wife, I can't remember this, but his youngest son and his wife, I used to talk to them a lot, apart from him. So just before he passed away, he was in a public meeting. He used to get called to public meetings in Cuttack, his hometown in Orissa, and give speeches because he was known among the intellectual and cultured class of people as being a good speaker and a religious speaker. And someone questioned him, the same question, very similar to a question that I was asked last night in a public meeting. Someone asked, well, you say you're going to go back to Godhead, but this chanting will take you back to Godhead, but how can you be sure? And he said, we're sure. We're definitely, this chanting will take us back to Godhead. And then He said that very strongly, with great conviction. Certainly, it's the verdict of all the Shastras. Bhagavan himself gives us. So he very strongly said, we're sure. Then he went back home and he had some physical attack, something, a heart attack, something like this. He was admitted in hospital and he waited. After 2 days, he passed away. That was Advaita Saptami, the appearance day of Advaita. So... those were his last words, at least in public, that definitely we're going. He was very strong on this point. And Srila Prabhupada also was asked something similar to that. He was asked that, You see, we're chanting and we're doing all these things. But how can we know we're going to go back to Godhead? And Srila Prabhupada said that we're making so much effort to bring others back, and you think Krishna will leave us behind? I heard that Prabhupada had said that. I also heard that Prabhupada had said that. A devotee had said to Srila Prabhupada that we're distributing these books. That was the major activity, very, very central to our movement when I joined in 1975. Distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. And one devotee asked Prabhupada that, you see, all the time we're talking to these kamis, we're interacting with them, and their association rubs off on us, and it can contaminate us. So how can we know that we'll be going back to Godhead with all this, all the time? Spend most of our day talking to non-devotees. Srila Prabhupada said, if you go on distributing these books, then even if how do we know we'll think of Krishna at the time of death? Srila Prabhupada said that, well, if you go on distributing these books throughout your life, then even if you don't remember Krishna at the time of death, Lord Chaitanya will come in your mind and he'll come and personally take you back to Godhead. So that's assurance. But on the other hand, a devotee's confidence, it springs not from my ability. You see, I'm such a great devotee, I'm such a great preacher, I'm such a strict sadhaka, I'm this, I'm that. But he thinks that surely Krishna will protect me because I'm his completely helpless, surrendered servant. He has great faith in the mercy of Krishna, that Krishna will surely deliver me. It may be after millions of lives. Srila Prabhupada said that I have no hope of direct service for the forthcoming sojourn of crores of my lives. He said that. He wrote that. But he's confident that Krishna will protect me. Rakshishyatiti Vishvaso. That is one of the symptoms of a surrendered devotee, one who takes shelter of Krishna. That he has a very strong sense that Krishna will protect me in all circumstances. Even in circumstances we can't understand. Why is this happening to me? I just got an email yesterday from a devotee who, she's been a devotee for many, many years, but now she's just in the latter part of her life. She's dedicating herself fully to try to help revive the preaching, especially in Belfast, in Northern Ireland. She's fully thrown herself into that. She was sleeping on a bunk bed, you know what that is? There's one bed and then another bed on top of that. She fell down, and she's quite old physically, and when older people fall, it's quite common, especially women, they break their bones, they have osteoporosis. And she broke her back in two places, which means she's going to be bedridden for at least 3 months. So she's trying to understand why this is. She made a very good comment. She said it's better than falling down spiritually to fall out of the bed and break your back. It's not very pleasant, but it's definitely better than. You might get some pleasure from falling down spiritually. You can go and eat some McDonald's hamburgers. There are so many different ways you can fall down. You might get some, I don't know what pleasure's in there, but people seem to get some pleasure out of it. So that was a very good comment. But why does this happen? Well, just when I'm fully dedicating and making this effort, and then all of a sudden, Krishna. It must be Krishna's hand, but why? Very difficult to understand. Very difficult to understand. But with the devotee's faith is that, well, Krishna, for some reason Krishna is doing this. Why? We can't understand. There's that Bhishma, he also states to Yudhishthira was lamenting, why so many people had to be killed, and Bhishma said, Srila Prabhupada uses the word in the translation, inscrutable, means if we try to scrutinize with our intelligence, we can't understand. But anyway, it's going on, it's happening, it must be Krishna's. Krishna has some desire. Krishna has some reason for this. Why should it be? Why should it be like that? Krishna knows, I don't know. In course of time, it may become clear to us why Krishna arranged for me to be put in such a difficult situation. At this present time, we may not be able to say what exactly is Krishna's plan. He has his plan. The devotee's faith is there. And his faith is that Krishna will deliver me. Either this life, or a million lives, or 10 million lives. But if I stick at the lotus feet of Krishna, then he will deliver me. But one, of course, one has to be very serious. Generally, people think that, everyone thinks, when I die, I'll go to heaven. As I've pointed out many times, you'll see in the newspapers in India, of course, I don't read Telugu, or it's probably the same thing. In the Telugu newspapers, yesterday someone came from that paper, Andhra Jyoti, something like this. Still going on in Telangana. It's called Andhra Jyoti. Maybe they should change the name to Telangana Jyoti. Anyway, that's up to them. So in the newspapers, they have the in memoriam sections, and they'll have something like a photo of someone who just died, and the dates of their birth and the date of their death, and they'll put swarga prapta, which means they attain to heaven. And they all have that, swarga prapta, swadham prapta, in Gauriya parlance at least we'd say, swadhama prapta, something like this. They all presume they're going to heaven, but in Kali Yuga, I don't know. It's not. People are doing sinful activities. What we call a pious person nowadays would probably, one or two generations ago, be considered impious. Things are changing so badly. But everyone, if I just worship God, and I do a little puja in the morning, I believe in God, I give some money to the religious, people come around collecting for all the religious festivals like Saraswati Puja, that's a religious festival, isn't it? Is it? Well, used to be, supposed to be. Now it's an excuse for the students to get drunk. Is it here in Telangana also? It's like that. They collect money and they drink and... They don't do it for Saraswati Puja, they do it for Ganesh Puja. So. Dasara just went and all this. So I give money to all the festivals. I'm very pious. But the full commitment may not be there. Or we may think, well, I've been a devotee all my life, so surely Prabhupada will deliver me. I just read a book by one of Srila Prabhupada's first disciples where he said that. He wrote in his book that I hope Prabhupada will deliver me. Even though I've had my ups and downs in devotional life, I hope that Prabhupada will remember me and take me to him. Very nice devotional sentiments. And then there's another chapter just after that where he describes how he's watching the baseball on TV. Baseball is similar kind of game, I guess, like cricket. It's just like people are crazy over cricket in India, so in America it's baseball. Somehow it didn't seem to really go together. I mean, if you really want Prabhupada's mercy, you don't watch baseball on TV. It's understood that people have different anartas or sanskara, bad kusanskara, bad impressions in the mind, but you don't actually indulge in them if we want to. It's taking the mercy cheaply that... Well, I've been chanting Hare Krishna so many years, and I did a lot of service and this and that. Okay, very good, but I'm afraid this kind of attitude, the attitude that, well, sometimes we hear, better to be honest, you see. You also have so many material desires, but I'm just being honest, and therefore I watch the baseball on TV and I listen to all this nonsense music. But you also have that, you can't say you're completely pure, so I'm just being honest. But that's nonsense to say that. Because, all right, I'll honestly say I have bad desires in my heart, but I don't deliberately cultivate them by indulging in them. There's a difference. I can honestly say that I have material attachments in my heart, but we take to the process of bhakti to fully absorb in activities of Krishna consciousness and not to cultivate the wrong things and then say, well, we expect Prabhupada's mercy. And then it becomes like Christianity, in which they've... I mean, you may say it's a small thing and it's only occasional, but it opens the door to the same attitude as Christianity, where people haven't... Well, there's some idea you should be good, as defined by who? Cow killers. Eating beef is good. May not be very good for the health, but it's something good. Christians can do it. But at least when I was growing up, we didn't eat meat on Fridays because that was the day when Jesus was killed. So that was the day for eating fish instead of meat. Some strange theologizing there. So the idea that, well, you just, we're weak, so we can't follow all these things, therefore we just believe in Jesus, and Jesus will deliver us. So this idea, Prabhupada, we just believe in his mercy, we believe in... But what was the major manifestation of Srila Prabhupada's mercy? It was his teachings. He's a guru, he teaches. That's what guru teaches. That's the major manifestation of his mercy, is he teaches us, gives us the knowledge, but we have to act on that so that we can become purified. It's not just some mystic blessing and then you become completely purified. We have to show that we want to be pure. We have to be sincere about that by tivrena bhakti yogena, practicing the process of bhakti very seriously. So Vritrasura is confident that he'll go back to God. So that back to God. So that's one of the symptoms of a devotee, is that he has great hope, ashabandha, has great hope that he will be delivered. He will attain to the lotus feet of Krishna. He has that hope. He's not hopeless. The fact that we can't guarantee that we won't go back to God doesn't mean that we're totally hopeless, or we're just like we're doing some lottery gambling, or we think that, well, my situation is... in one sense we think, Purusha kirta hoite mui she logishta, I'm lower than the worm in stool. In one sense, a devotee thinks like that, but in the other sense, he doesn't deny the mercy of the Supreme Lord and the Hari Guru Vaishnava on him. He may say that, yes, I'm lower than a worm in stool, but by the mercy of Hari, of Guru and of Vaishnavas, I can also at least attempt to chant the holy names. We can recognize that our situation, we are in a better situation than others who are not chanting Hare Krishna. Otherwise, why should we preach if we think that, well, it's all the same? Then why should we preach? We're preaching to people to take up the Krishna conscious process because that will help them. But on the other hand, again, we don't think, well, I'm in a better position. These people are all useless. one may become recognized as preacher of Krishna consciousness, and then he's saying, oh, others are very low. And Maya acts in so many ways to try and pull us down. What is the attitude of a devotee that will attract the mercy of Krishna? Is this humility and not just the attitude of humility, but at the same time striving to serve Krishna in all respects. I'll just read a few more verses of these. Vritrasura preaching to Indra. He says, next verse, persons who fully surrender at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and always think of His lotus feet are accepted and recognized by the Lord as His own personal assistants or servants. The Lord never bestows upon such servants the brilliant opulences of the upper, lower, and middle planetary systems of this material world. When one possesses material opulence in any of these three divisions of the universe, his possessions naturally increase his enmity, anxiety, mental agitation, pride, and belligerence. Thus one goes through much endeavor to increase and maintain his possessions, and he suffers great unhappiness when he loses them. So this is a difference in outlook between a devotee and a non-devotee. A non-devotee thinks, if I get the mercy of God, I'll get lots of money and I'll be well recognized in society. And the devotee thinks, I don't want these things. In Navadvip, during the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the materialistic people, they would mock the Vaishnavas, especially Sridhara, who used to sell bananas and tor. Tor means the inside of the banana tree, used as a vegetable. And things like lao, that means squash. And anyway, all these things just grow practically wild in Bengal. Bananas will grow. If you don't cultivate something, bananas will grow by themselves. I was recently in Sri Lanka. There were just some fields and there were jackfruit trees full of jackfruits, huge jackfruits, avocados, just growing wild. So like that, in Bengal, you don't get much money from selling banana leaves when there are banana trees everywhere. But I guess for people who didn't want, I don't know, I don't even know who would. I guess when I was in Bangladesh, in the villages, there would be people selling, but well, at the bus stops and things like that. But in the towns, Navadvip was a town, so there's some scope in the towns for selling such things. So these materialistic people, they would mock the Sridhar for being so poor. What's the use of worshipping Vishnu? You see, we worship Devi, and we're very opulent and prestigious and respected in society, and you're worshipping Vishnu and you can't even mend the roof of your hut, the little cottage that you live in. And you have this broken iron pot to drink water out of, which is impure. If the pot, first of all, it shouldn't be iron, and then it shouldn't be chipped or broken. But Sridhar didn't care, because he knew what he wanted. He wanted to serve Krishna. He didn't care for the opulence of the world, which creates enmity, anxiety, mental agitation, pride, and belligerence from material opulences, which puts us in a paradoxical situation is in this Krishna conscious movement. If we build big temples, then many people will come, they'll be impressed, and the ideas that we'll preach to them. But then we become, the danger is we'll think, well, I've got this big temple. My temple's bigger than that person's temple over there. Or my temple's smaller than someone else's temple. Oh, and burning with envy. That materialistic outlook may come. Therefore, we should have these classes daily. At least, and follow sadhana, and not become envious of others in the name of devotional service. Vritra continues, our Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, forbids His devotees to endeavor uselessly for religion, economic development, and sense gratification. O Indra, one can thus infer how kind the Lord is. Such mercy is obtainable only by unalloyed devotees and by persons not by persons who aspire for material gains. So the real mercy of Krishna is to not desire anything material. That's one of the symptoms of the mercy of Krishna. But that's only there for unalloyed devotees. Krishna might cheat you by giving material opulence, and then you become proud. Then here we have in the Bhagavatam, in the next verse, the words dasanudas. Aham hare tava padaika mula dasanudaso bhavitasmi bhuyaha. Manasmaritasu pate gunangs te grinita vak kama karo tukayaha. You'll see just from the, even without reading the translation, you can see as very similar themes in all the in all the devotional literature. This is very similar to themes that come in Mukunda Mala of Kulashekhar Alva, and it's a repeated devotional theme. I'll read the English. O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, will I again be able to be a servant of your eternal servants who find shelter only at your lotus feet? O Lord of my life, may I again become their servant, so that my mind may always think of your transcendental attributes, my words always glorify those attributes, and my body always engage in the loving service of your Lordship. So this is a prayer for the next life. May I be a servant of the servant, of your servants. Because then I'll get the opportunity to remember you. Because devotees, they help us to remember Krishna. So there's one prayer. What do you want for your next life? To direct service? To be a servant of the servant. Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, he begins the purport by saying that this verse gives the sum and substance of devotional life. One must first become a servant of the Lord, dasanudas. So you can go back and study that carefully. This verse gives the sum and substance of devotional life. I'll just read through. He's giving an overview here by reading the verses. That means, overview means you don't get all of it, but just a summary. There's also Gopi Pranidhana Prabhu, he did an underview of some of the verses in the Bhagavatam. Underview means he went into, instead of going through many verses, just take one verse and study it very minutely. That's also possible. Overviews, underviews, all different angles of vision. Prabhupada said we should try to understand this philosophy from all different angles of vision. Different devotional angles, of course. O my Lord, source of all opportunities, I do not desire to enjoy in Dhruva Loka, the heavenly planets or the planet where Lord Brahma resides. Nor do I want to be the supreme ruler of all the earthly planets or the lower planetary systems. I do not desire to be master of the powers of mystic yoga, nor do I want liberation if I have to give up your lotus feet. This is pure devotion. Krishna can give us anything, any situation, anywhere. People, they get an iPod and they play around with it and they think, oh, this is bliss. Krishna can give you a whole planet to rule over. And it's not just some imaginary jiu-jitsu game in an iPod. He can give you a real planet to rule over. He can give you dozens of planets to rule over. But pure devotees, they don't want it. They think it's just completely useless. They only want Krishna. Next. O lotus-eyed Lord, as baby birds that have not yet developed their wings always look for their mothers, for their mother to return and feed them. As small calves tied with ropes await anxiously the time of milking, when they will be allowed to drink the milk of their mothers, or as a morose wife whose husband is away from home always longs for him to return and satisfy her in all respects, I always yearn for the opportunity to render direct service to you. This is pure attachment without philosophy. It means the bird in the nest is not thinking philosophically, I am a bird, my mother will come, the mother will feed me, then my stomach will be satisfied. But the bird has no way to philosophize in this way, but just yearning with all his... Of course, that's materialistic, because they are to get something from the mother for their body. But the example is given. Srila Prabhupada also famously gave that example. The chanting should be just like the cry of a child for his mother, because the mother has no... The child has no shelter other than the child feels helpless and unprotected. So our chanting should be like that. It's philosophy, yes, but ultimately it is a heart-to-heart call for Krishna, his mercy. Please save me, Krishna. Interesting that the example is given of a woman. She's hankering for her husband to return. And that's something from another age, which ended about 20 years ago, I guess. Oh my Lord, my Master, I am wandering throughout this material world as a result of my fruitive activities. Therefore, I simply seek friendship in the association of your pious and enlightened devotees. My attachment to my body, wife. So he's not described in Bhagavatam, but he had wife, children, and home. My attachment to my body, wife, children, and home is continuing by the spell of your external energy, but I wish to be attached to them no longer. Let my mind, my consciousness, and everything I have be attached only to you. So that's the end of the chapter. We can see Vritrasura is fearlessly ready for death and confident in the protection of Krishna. And his prayer is to have the opportunity to associate with devotees, to be born in a situation where he'll be with devotees. So that's a prayer. If we're thinking of the future, what will the future be? What will I get? So there are various prayers that can be made, and I'll, Krishna willing, I'll go through some more in the next day or two, various aspirations for a future life. But devotee, his main prayer is to be with the devotees, because where there are devotees, there are Krishna. There is Krishna. There's remembrance of Krishna. There's service to Krishna. There's Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Any question about this, please? All right, then we'll finish now. You have a question?
One quote.
Yeah, please read it.
In one of the early meetings, our first meeting, Prabhupada wrote that we have information that we are going back to Godhead.
We have information that we are going back to Godhead, yeah. Srila Prabhupada wrote that before coming to America. People may think it's something amazing. They may not believe it. Something like that, Srila Prabhupada wrote. But we have
We invite others
to come, yeah. Through Back to Godhead magazine. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.